He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Hello to our listeners for this week's Car Keys show with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. I'd like to start off with some pending potential new vehicles discussion with regards to Ford and Hyundai. Both manufacturers have got pictures of pending vehicles that may make it to the market. The first one that I'd like to talk about is what is called the 2028 Ford Ranchero. And it's if it comes the way the headline says, it's going to be possibly a total electric truck. The Ranchero is an old Ford name. But they're using the size frame of it is more like the current Ford Maverick, which is a hybrid or I think a gasoline only version of a very small pickup, which is very successful. But with the 28 Ford Rancho pending and the number $30,000 now talked about in 2026, it probably would be a miracle. Jay, you can comment later. Whether or not they could pull it off at $30,000 in 2028, the way the Slate pickup, which is what I'm going to talk about in relation to this shortly, was going to bring out a $20,000 electric pickup, build it yourself, and it could go up to $30,000. And now I think it's coming in at $30,000, and it can go up to $40,000. In any event, if the Ford Ranchero comes as pictured, and anywhere near $30,000 with any decent amount of accessories, which I presume would include electric windows. I do not know, as I commented to you in an email before the show got on, why anybody would ever want to buy a Slate. You may now comment about that, Jay, because you probably have an answer.
I don't know why anybody would want to buy a Slate. I get the appeal of building your own unique vehicle, and there's something to be said about that. So that's about the Slate, and we've talked about the Slate, and we'll see how realistic that all is and whether the company survives and where they go and what the prices end up being. But to talk about the Ranchero...
It looks neat.
It looks like a fine pickup truck. But you have to wonder what makes you think that all of a sudden this is going to be a success story from Ford. I mean, look at their history in producing and selling electric vehicles. They started out with the Ford Mustang Mach-E, which was a total marketing boo-boo, in my opinion, calling it a Mustang. It's still a great vehicle, and yet sales of the Mustang Mach-E have plummeted. So it's kind of disappeared into oblivion.
Well, I've not heard that it's been nicked for further production, Jay. Have you heard anything about the production future?
Nobody's paying attention to it anymore anyway, including Ford.
Okay.
Then you have the Ford Lightning, which was, a great pickup truck. It looked like an F-150. It probably did everything an F-150 does.
Unladen, it was great.
And yet they discontinued it at the end of last year, right?
Correct.
So that's two flops in Ford's electric vehicle lineup. And then they have nothing. And then they're going to come out with a Ranchero, which is going to compete first and foremost with their own Ford Maverick, which is a great little pickup truck. So knowing the history of what's happened in recent years at Ford, I cannot see this being a success. And when people are going to walk into a dealership and start comparing a Maverick and a Ranchero, I'm curious to see if dealers and dealer salespeople are really going to promote
embrace
the Ranchero.
Them.
And dealers can kill it just as quickly as GM deal for Chevy dealers killed the Bolt when it first came out. You and I have talked about this repeatedly, and this goes back
5 years.
If not 6-7 years,
right?
Before 2020, it was 2018, I believe. So I'm very skeptical, and Ford itself is skeptical. This vehicle is being designed by a team of engineers and people who have been hired away from Tesla, Rivian, and I think there's a third company. I don't even know which one is the third one. About 500 core staff, and the headquarters for this, you know, unit is to be in California. So, and with no direct involvement, no reporting to the rest of Ford in Detroit. So even Ford knows that they can screw it up all by themselves. So, yes, it looks great on paper.
It looks great in a picture too.
It looks great in a picture.
And you read the article and it has all the attributes of being potentially successful. I agree with you that the marketing structure in Ford and some of the other manufacturers, not to mention the marketing strategies of the salespeople in the dealerships of these companies, has been miserable with respect to how to really get people enthusiastic to buy electric vehicles. And so that part of your discussion is very much up in the air as to whether or not anything new produced by any manufacturer. That wasn't the way I wanted the discussion about the Ranchero to go, but now that it's gone that way, you're right. On the other hand, you talk to the users and the owners of these electric vehicles that came on the market, and the Ford 150 Lightning is one. Everyone I talked to, and I've talked to a dozen owners over the last couple of years who I've seen drive Lightnings, they love those vehicles. Hopefully they won't have so many problems with them that Ford, that'll make them sour on their situation. They also love the GM, electric vehicle that you just mentioned. And everybody I know that has one of those loves it. Everybody I know that has any electric vehicle loves it. The Teslas are loved by their owners. So the sales didn't back up the enthusiasm of the people who actually put the money down and bought them is too bad for the manufacturers, because I think eventually, Jay, as you've been saying in other earlier shows over the years, electric is the way to go.
So look at what's happening in the rest of the world, right?
It's booming China. In China. It's booming in Europe.
Hold
right?
on a second. Hold on. So China this year has come out with 650 new models so far this year.
That's dizzying.
Four new models every day of the year.
It's
insane. You look at what they have done, the Chinese manufacturers have done in Europe and other parts of the world. They're just flooding the markets. You look at what is happening in Europe. They're starting to build vehicles there to go around all the different barriers to Chinese imports. Volvo just struck a deal. Volvo has been building cars in Belgium for decades. They built the 740 series there. They build the 850, I believe. A lot of cars that came to the States were built in their Ghent factory in Belgium. And it is now talked about that Volvo is going to be producing. They're investing in that factory right now, and they've gotten investment aids from the Belgian government. But they're going to produce other brands of from the Geely Group. So they're going to produce Chinese cars in the Volvo factory in Belgium, and sell them in Europe. So that's where the trend is going. And meanwhile, in this country, and we're just going our own way, and we're going to keep building big American V8s and ICE cars, and what we're finding is that the American car manufacturers are really building cars that are U.S. market specific only. And in the long run, and I just read an op-ed on that this morning. This is the slow death of the American auto manufacturing industry. This is my gloomy take
on the less gloom and more interesting things that which I started out saying are pending vehicles. I'm going to move to the Hyundai organization because this same article that wrote about the Ford Ranchero brought out the 2030 pending Hyundai midsize pickup truck to take on the Tacomas, the Rangers, the Colorados, and maybe a Stellantis version, which has been rumored to be in the development stage. But yeah, I have yet to see anything about it in recent weeks.
Wait a minute.
Went to the auto show earlier this spring, and we saw the Hyundai Boulder concept, which was a Land Rover, Bronco, Wrangler competitor, which is also probably coming to the market. So they've taken the Boulder concept and now made it into what looks like a very ruggedly attractive pickup truck that may come out to challenge the aforementioned competition that's already on the market. I don't think there's a whole lot, we'll let you say what you want about that in a moment. The final vehicle that came out in this magazine was a Lincolnized version of the Ford Bronco. And that even looks attractive. But to compete with the Mercedes level of these SUVs, they're spending all this money making these fancy versions of the basic models that came out. And do you think that there's less gloom in the potential for these two vehicles following your prediction for the Ranchero?
Two very different things. I think Hyundai is going to nail it with this pickup truck, with this medium-sized pickup truck. And we knew from the get-go, when the Boulder was presented at the New York Auto Show, it was clear to me and probably everybody else in the industry that, the pickup truck version of that was going to hit the market first.
Yeah.
And yes, it's going to be a huge success. I mean, I don't know of any product that Hyundai and its other brand Kia have come up with and encountered any sales flops. They've been doing great for the last few decades, and they've been going upscale. And I think they're going to keep doing so. So I think that product is going to be a huge success. There's no doubt in my mind. The Lincoln version of a Ford Bronco, to me, makes absolutely no sense. You know, once in a while, I am wrong about these things. So,
see. Jay.
But I, that's just like wearing high heels to go hiking in the Appalachian.
Watch
chair.
Out, Jay. I mean, it's gender specific.
Well, yes. Well, everybody can wear high heels or heels or
boots with heels.
Cocktail party shoes, put it that way. I just don't see it, but I could be wrong. And also, if it doesn't cost them all that much money to Ford, I mean, maybe why not? But I don't think that they're going to – they're not going to have
Only the body panels would be the major difference because they've got the undercarriage for box frame all set to go. Although it's like you told me when I asked you, did they really make pickup trucks for the races like they had at Lime Rock? And you said, all they do is they use the Ford chassis and they just put a different body on the top, a pickup body. So I guess that's what you're dealing with. The profit potential for everyone they sell would be probably pretty great because it would probably be $10,000 to $15,000 higher version for version over the existing Bronco lineup. So more profit to them. But the problem that I've seen with Ford and Lincoln is that they've had trouble numerically in building sales competition to the GM alternative versions, like the Denalis and their similar model lines. They also apparently are going to drop the Corsair because it's slow selling. They can't seem to get anybody interested in it. So this goes back to our conversations we've had in the past for our listeners about the lack of durability or endurance that I see in maybe we use Ford as the number one to be dubious about, but the manufacturer's lack of endurance in carrying what is perfectly good cars further if they don't numerically get the sales numbers they want to make it work in the balance sheet. There be it. Comments from you, Jay?
Yeah, I think those companies are run by a bunch of amateurs. But let's move on.
Okay, move on. You've got something to say to talk about. Let's go to it.
A few different things. Flock cameras versus speed cameras. I think there's a lot of confusion.
Yes. Straighten us out.
Well, flock cameras, first of all, are not speed cameras. They are a lot more than that. So the flock cameras are these cameras that are we talked about them a few weeks ago. Yeah. You know, HOAs, towns sign these contracts with Flock. These cameras scan your license plate, and it all goes in a database, and then they sell the data to police forces and anybody else, for that matter, who wishes to access their database. And it's AI powered, and you can, once you have access to the database, which means paying them money, you then can do searches and kind of identify vehicles. The problem is, the fact is that the flock cameras are scanning a lot more than just the license plates. They are scanning your car, the shape of the car, the stickers you put on the back of your cars, you know, they will.
Well,
scan.
Then the owner information, of course.
Yes, it all is, you know, it basically is Big Brother is watching, quote unquote. And pretty much that becomes
a
violation of privacy. And so I have a big problem with flock cameras. There is one on the way out of Millerton going south on Route 22.
Where is it? I'm going to look for it the next time I go down.
Go south, and before you...
Is it south or north of the sheriff's station?
It's just before you get to Harney T. It's on the right-hand side.
Okay. Turn a big corner.
So I try to avoid that. You know, I'm just paranoid. I mean, I'm paranoid for no reason, but just because.
Well, we've had versions of the flock cameras, for our listeners' information, already on the state police cruisers, New York, Connecticut, probably other states, who are really seeking to find out whether or not all the cars going by them are currently properly registered. They've got they mount these cameras, which I guess what you could call versions of flock-like cameras or systems on the trunks or on the hoods of their vehicles, and they're portable because I don't see over periods of time that they're in use all the time. But then all of a sudden, some campaign must be presented to them, and the state police, New York, recently had a whole bunch of their cruisers parked in their Dover Plains area, and they all had these cameras on the back.
Yeah, that's becoming old technology.
Yes, maybe,
and it's accessible to you know, repo companies, and it's available to you know, you see those cars going down the streets just scanning plates for issuing parking tickets.
Unregistered vehicles.
Unregistered, yes. So that is the beginning of the problem. That's where it all started. And, oh, you know, we're keeping those databases. There's no access. We don't divulge the information. Yeah. As soon as you have information in the database, somebody's going to have access to it, or somebody can have access to it.
Right.
But I want to go and expand on that, because it's part of the same people who are okay with flock cameras or people are getting confused. But then you have the idea of having speed cameras, where the camera is there for one reason only, is to nail you if you're going over the speed limit in a certain area. And here in Connecticut, there have been laws passed where you can have speed cameras, like in work zones and in and around schools. And I have no problems with speed cameras. I mean, I don't like them because I like speed, but I have no problems with them. I think it's a fair way of enforcing speed limits. As long as that data is limited to nailing the people going over the speed limit. And I think that's just a personal opinion that if you have a speed camera, it should be announced. There should be a sign saying, hey, speed camera ahead. So if you do get nailed, you're just being, you're not
Reckless.
just not paying attention
Right.
to the signs on the side of the road. So
Well,
really, I'm
they have one of these areas, these work zone areas on 95 North, some distance north of New Haven, for example. I don't know how many miles it is. And there are signs as you approach warning you to think about the 55 mile an hour or 50 mile an hour limit that is posted and be warned because there are the speed cameras are there to nail you if you're going a certain number of miles over the so-called posted speed limit. And I've noticed now that they have a little yellow light, and if it's blinking, the speed cameras are active. If it's not blinking after you've watched all the signage warning you, the speed cameras apparently are off, for example, on weekends when they're not actually constructing highway stuff. Which is designed to make you want to go slower so you don't hit anybody that's working in the highway lanes. but if they're gonna photograph your license plate along with the speed it's going, you're gonna have all the information similar to the FLOC, but not as much as you're suggesting, information about the driver and the car in that particular level of photographing your car speeding through a speed limited speed zone.
Well, that's where I think legislation is really important, and that information should be it should not be available, not readily available even to police forces, and that information should be somehow deleted as soon as a ticket has been issued. And I know, once it's out there and once it's online, once it's in the database, it's never really deleted. But there have to be some there has to be some legislation, and there is. It just has to be, it just has to be better explained. Anyway, so much
Okay.
for that. I went to, I spent a lot of time at the track the last few weeks, and this company, FCP Euro, this is a company based in Connecticut, and the manufacturer. And sell. They don't necessarily manufacture. They sell aftermarket parts for European cars, and they're very active in the sports car world and in the tuning world. And they happen to have a few car shows at Lime Rock every year. And this yesterday, this past Sunday, there was a car show. I don't know how big it was because I was working in the paddock and didn't see every car coming in, but I know they had 1,800 pre-registered entries for the car show. And this weekend was about German manufacturers, so it was Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, and it's always a great sight. And I believe it's free to the public, and if there's an entry fee, it's certainly very low, but I think it's free, and it's very quick, like a lot of car shows. It was from 9:30 to 12:30, and then everybody goes home, and lots of nice cars. But it made me also think about companies like FCP Euro, like Bring a Trailer, this online auction site. These companies do really well because they build an online community. Their websites or their platforms become akin to a social media platform where there is a lot of conversation, not only from the staff but also from buyers and participants. And I think that's part of their success.
Jay, to interrupt and for listeners, how do listeners like me know what's going on there when that kind of show does not seem to get the publicity in local papers or newspapers around the area. Yeah, I guess all the people that are into this stuff know what to do on their computers in this searching for what is going to go on anywhere in the automotive industry world on any given weekend in any given location where they might show up.
I almost forgot myself, but there is a track calendar that shows most of the events.
Okay.
Except some of the private events, like Porsche Club does not advertise their events. For I think insurance reasons, but so yeah, this is car show season. I know there was one at Falls Village last weekend, which I missed. One at the track this weekend, but you know, type in the car shows, and there are car shows everywhere and every weekend,
right.
Pretty much.
Okay.
What else do you have?
Well, I'm going to rant a little bit. I had
Uh-oh.
A car follow me. This is about lack of people who don't seem to want to pay much attention to whether or not all their lighting is working on their vehicles at any given moment that they're driving them, especially when it's dark out. I had a situation over this last weekend. It doesn't matter when the show is heard, where I had it looked like a motorcycle was behind me. With very bright double, some of the motorcycles seem to have twin headlights right next to each other. So I said, oh, I've got a motorcycle following me. Well, it didn't turn out not to be a motorcycle. It turned out to be because the silhouette of the vehicle turned out to be a four-wheeled vehicle. I think it was a van. It was white, and it had nothing on the opposite side of the front end that was dark. There was no lighting, no parking lamp below, a non-working headlight at all. And I really was at the point of wanting to stop that vehicle and somehow get that vehicle to stop behind me and go and ask the owner if he or she or they had any clue about what they didn't have operating in their front end lighting, because it was
take the law into your
dangerous.
Own hands is what you wanted to do.
What?
You wanted to take the law into your own hands.
No, I didn't want to take the law. What was I going to do? I was just going to suggest to them that they fix it.
Okay.
But I probably would have gotten the wrong end of the stick on that one.
Yeah, probably.
But there are a lot of one-eyed vehicles going around. For a while, there used to be a lot of GM pickups that I thought they were just getting built with defective lamps that didn't last very long. Headlights used to last forever in most cars. Now the older cars, many of them have one light out. But if they've got a parking lamp that is operating below the non-working headlamp, at least you know it's a vehicle, four-wheel vehicle.
Here's the problem with headlamps. They used to have the little, you know, U.S. specs used to mandate the little rectangular little headlights that you could replace for $20
correct and do it yourself
in any parts store.
Yep.
Now, any modern car light, if anything goes wrong, it can be $800 to over $1,000 just to replace, because you have to replace the whole LED and the whole light. So sometimes
they don't just plug in. You got to go up under the fender. You got to disconnect something else. I know the Subaru Legacy sedans. There was at least 1 year, maybe it went extended beyond that for that particular vehicle, in which it took 3 hours. A non-Subaru mechanic could take up to 3 hours to try to get that headlamp out and replaced because of the lack of loose space under the hood where the headlamp was to be able to access it and pull it off and replace it. So
how many real estate brokers does it take to change a headlight?
Too many.
It's a joke. Bad one. I wanted to talk about prices of used cars and new cars and the median.
Please do.
Well, we're running out of time for that, but let's make it a point of talking about it next week. The car market is, we'll talk about the state
it's
of the car market.
It's pretty strong in the used car market, is it not?
It is pretty strong in the used car market, yes. Yep. Prices are going back up in the used car market. But then
they are indeed.
You know, So is inflation in general. So you got to kind of figure out what's what and what are the causes and why the prices are going up.
Well,
But we can talk more in detail about that next week.
so I do say to owners, sometime when you start your car up at nighttime, why don't you turn all your lights on and walk around your car before you get in and drive off? And please, if you find that a lamp is out or one side of your car is completely dark, get whatever is not working fixed. And with that, I guess it'll be Car Keys for this week with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.